And we're going to talk about joy over the next few weeks. We're going to talk specifically about joy stealers. What is it that steals your joy? And in the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about people. But today, we're going to talk about circumstances, the stuff of life that steals our joy. Now, if you don't know me well, if you don't know me at all, you know what a lovely singer I am. And so I wanted to start by singing you a song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. Second verse. I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart.
Where?
That'll do, won't it? I don't think Dell's at Bridge Chapel, Dave, but anyway, we'll move on. Oh, have you seen that at Bridge Chapel? Yeah. Sorry, got you. Plus, why is there for a second? Could have been dodgy. Not like that, don't like, I don't know what you're saying. As I was thinking about this, I thought about that song. If you've never been inflicted by that song, even sung well, right? That's because I grew up in a Christian family and I went to Sunday school, and at Sunday school we sang that song. And I started to think about that second verse particularly. See, we think about what the devil doesn't like. We believe there is a God, don't we?
Yeah.
And we believe there is a Jesus who is alive, don't we? Yeah. But we also believe that there is a devil, don't we?
Yeah.
A real Satan. And we think about sometimes the things he doesn't like. He doesn't like church unity, does he? And he doesn't like evangelism, does he? But joy, really, I know the devil doesn't like it. But it's down in my heart. That really got me thinking. Hang on a minute. Why is the... If that song is true, and I think it is, it's a simple little song, but I think it's prophetic. I think it's true. That actually what the enemy wants is to make you look miserable as a Christian. I mean, you might be doing a good job on your own, but he wants to make you look miserable as a Christian. And I think that is wrong. And I think he can get away in Jesus' name. The difference between joy and happiness is circumstances. I was quite happy this morning. Newcastle could finish above Everton, and Sunderland have gone down another tier. That's happiness, isn't it? But it's circumstantial, because we all know next year Newcastle will go down another tier, Everton will be fine, and Sunderland will be happy. Sorry about the football thing, but whatever your life is, happiness is circumstantial. I've got a pay rise, my family's doing well, I'm managing to meet the payments on my car, whatever. But when those things go wrong, we lose the happiness because it's circumstantial. But joy is a different thing. It's deep in my heart. It's something God has done for his people. That's what we are going to talk about. As we think about who God is, if I said to you this morning, tell me a phrase, God is. And what happened to me? God is love, God is light, God is spirit, God is justice, God is righteousness. We'd probably have loads of them. But how many of us would say God is joy? Probably not. But when we think about what the Bible says about joy, in Galatians 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, when we've read that, if you've never read it before, but if you've read that and if you've heard that, it's always been about you, that verse, hasn't it? So the Spirit comes in your life, you become a Christian, and you get this fruit. You know, you get this kind of growth in your life. It's weird, isn't it? Something changes. Those who were impatient become patient. This is an amazing thing to pray in your life, by the way, if you're struggling with one of these areas. You know, when our kids were little, they used to drive me insane. I mean, now they're perfect, obviously, everything's great. But when they were little, they used to... And I'm bad-tempered. I know you wouldn't believe that of me. But just come to our house at tea time when I'm cooking and people come into the kitchen and ask what's for tea. And you'll see what a bad-tempered soul I am. But I was much worse when we had toddlers. Anybody who's had toddlers can, you know, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I start praying this. I start praying patience. Lord, I need patience. And God changed me. Something grew in my life. So we do that. We look at the fruit of the Spirit and we think it is about us. But whose fruit is it? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And if it's, so if we're growing something of God, we need to turn that around and say, hey, this fruit is God's. This fruit belongs to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is one with the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. So that means God is joy. Yeah? That's not heresy, is it? God is joy. And if God is joy, and he wants to grow joy in our lives, we need to watch out for the things that steal joy from us. We need to watch out for those things that remove joy. The Bible has got lots to say about joy. And we're going to read, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to use Philippians as kind of our base, because probably more than any other New Testament book, joy and rejoicing and joyfully appears over and over again. It's one of those friendly books that Paul writes. It's not Galatians, you foolish people. It's Philippians. Hey, I like you guys. It's he loves them, and he wants to encourage them, and he wants to speak to them about joy. So let's read Philippians together. You see, that's not too bad, is it? There we go. Now, I want you to know, sorry, this is Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. If you're doing the old thing with paper Bibles, I want to tell you something about yesterday. We had our leadership away day yesterday, and Angela is in a devotion, and she said, you know, open your Bibles. And we opened our Bibles, and everybody had a paper Bible. That's miraculous, isn't it? In this world, there was no phones, no iPads, just paper. It's like 1970s leadership team. With flares and everything. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment. Philippians 1, 12 to 26. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what's happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Great passage that, isn't it? But to me, can't copy that. To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amazing. I want to talk about joy stealers, and I'm going to start by thinking about being disconnected. When I'm talking to preachers, when we, our team that preach, whenever somebody preaches here, we give them a bit of critique. And one of the things I always say to people is, you need real stories about yourself, don't you? That's what connects people when you preach it. And so I'm preparing this story about joy. And I'm thinking about the times where people have said to me, hey, what is it about you? You know, what is this smiley thing that comes out of you? What is it about you? And I reminded myself of, you know, I was 24, I had been a Christian months, I'm working on a children's ward in London, and this Hindu lady says to me, Nick, what is it about you? And I say, it's the joy of the Lord. And on that Saturday, when it says two to the bed and 20 people came to see her little girl, she tells her whole family, Nick's got the joy of the Lord. Great story, that, isn't it? And I was thinking about times when I've been in Liverpool and the strange people come to speak to me. I don't mean on a Sunday morning. And some of you have that same experience. You're sitting in a pub or you're sitting in a cafe and the odd person, they want to come and talk to you. Why is that? It's because the joy of the Lord kind of ekes out of you. And somehow, even though you're trying to cross your arms and look down, you can't help it. Jesus just goes, come and speak to him. He'll listen to you. Great them, aren't they, those stories? I'm 50. That's a 26-year-old story. And I'm thinking to myself, lost my joy. Lost my joy. It's one of the reasons we're doing this series. Pastor, preach to yourself. Where's your joy? What's happened to your joy? Have a think for a second. You might not be in this place. I'm not cursing you if you are. But if you are in that place where you're going, oh, hang on a minute. When was the last time that happened to me? Where's my joy? We need to grab hold of that. And we need to do something about it. Often that's about people. We'll talk about them next week. But today we're going to talk about situations. And the big situation we're dealing with is being disconnected. When we feel disconnected. Pastorally, I've had multiple conversations over the last couple of months with people in this church. And not everyone's used that word, but the word that I have heard in conversations, I just feel a bit disconnected. Maybe disconnected from church, maybe disconnected from family, from relationships, from the ministry God has given me. What do we do when we feel disconnected? What is God saying to us this morning? Because disconnection is a joy stealer. It will steal your joy. And that is not a good place to be, because God is joy. And he wants us to be joyful people. And he wants us to be joyful in whatever the circumstance. That's why joy is not happiness. Put yourself in Paul's shoes for a minute. Paul is writing this joyful letter. And he's saying, come on, rejoice. Everything is great. And he's able to say that because he's just won the lottery. And he's just got a new chariot. And his wife is this amazing Barbie-like model person. And all that. Right? I won't test your Bible knowledge, but Paul is in prison. He's in prison in Rome. He's probably going to die. He kind of infers that, doesn't he, in what he says. He's probably going to die. Life is crap. If he's not literally chained to somebody, he has been. Imagine that. Chained to somebody. And we, like, make him a hero, don't we, and say, oh, because he's preaching the gospel. But life is so difficult. And if you're in that place, you're where he is. And Paul says to us, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let my joy be complete. Incredible, incredible stuff. He's saying to the guys and girls in Philippi, it's not about your circumstances. Your circumstances will rob you of your joy. But you, church, can have your joy back. You, Nick, can have your joy. You can call me Joy if you like. You, Nick, can have your joy back. Ever mentioned you called Joy who was joyless? Bit sad, that, isn't it? Come on. Paul's saying, look at me. Look at me. Look where I am. It is possible to rediscover what God is doing. It's possible, no matter what you're going through, to be joyful. This is John Piper, who's an American pastor. Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. That's what Paul is doing. He's seeing the beauty of Christ in the world. If he is fighting in every way he can against disconnection. He's writing the letter to these guys. These guys are in Philippi, which is northern Greece. So it's 6 weeks' journey in good weather, on good days. He wants to reconnect with them because they feel disconnected. And when we feel disconnected, we need to do what he does here. he starts to pray. He starts to ask them to pray. Sometimes we feel a bit ashamed, I feel a bit joyless. Tell somebody. We live in this incredible society where you can just text somebody, will you pray for me? And most people say yes, don't they? If you ask a Christian, will they pray for you? And they say no. Well, just say you want your money back. It comes with the territory. Pray, will you start praying? He wants to be reconnected. But Paul also recognises something else. He recognises that this is a thing of the Spirit. When you're disconnected, you need reconnection. And this is a thing of the Spirit. It is a Holy Spirit fruit, isn't it? Joy. And one of the things about the human condition is we leak, don't we? We leak joy, peace, patience. Because we live in circumstances that are not perfect, every single one of us. And we live with people that are not perfect, every single one of us. And especially if you live on your own. You live with somebody who's not perfect, don't you? We leak. And there is, over and over again in the New Testament, there is this call to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be full of the Holy Spirit. It's a constant call. It's not some weird Pentecostal thing. It is relationship with God Most High. He wants you to be the best Christian you can be. That's not about doing stuff and behaving yourself. That's about being full of Him in every way. I have had great joy this week. I have had great joy this week. Because if you're preaching on something like this, you have to kind of go, oh Lord, I better get right with you. I better be in a good place. Monday night, as a leadership team, we prayed, and one of the prayers was that God would put us in place with the right people to have conversations with people. You know, that He'd put us in the right place with the right people to talk to them about Jesus. Tuesday morning, the Jehovah's Witnesses come to our house. And that is a sport if you're a pastor. I was full of joy. I wasn't miserable. I wasn't angry with them. I was just telling them about Jesus. Come on. He is the Son of God. They're going, yes, we know. But it's not just about behaving yourself, you know, and all it is. No, it's not. It's about being full of the joy of the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit has done something new in your life. You want a bit of that, don't you? In your life? We're halfway through. We're halfway through, I promise. I'd like us to pray at this point that the Holy Spirit would come and fill your heart and your mind right now. You might have been a Christian forever. It's one of those things you can keep doing. Paul says in Galatians, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've never met Jesus, just let Him come. Let's just close our eyes, open our hands. Holy Spirit, we pray you'd come now. We pray for your fruit in our lives. Joy, love, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. We pray you'd come and fill us. Top us up, Lord. Lord, I pray the joy will well up inside of us like a spring. Not because of circumstances, but because of connection. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We say thank you because He's done it, you see. He's done it. We are disconnected, many of us, and the question is, how do we reconnect? How do we reconnect? And for Paul, he's saying this is a two-way thing. Partly it's about me writing to those people and speaking to God. So he's dealing with it. But it's also about them, isn't it? It's a two-way thing. We'll talk about the people next week. Disconnection. Reconnection. And the other thing I want to talk about is being discouraged. Discouragement. It is not a spiritual gift. Is it? And yet so many of us practice it all the time. It is not a spiritual gift. There is a time and a place, absolutely, for challenge. There is. And there was a time and a place to come and speak somebody into somebody's life in love. Little key, couple of verses there. In love. But you know what? Generally, we're not meant to discourage. We're meant to encourage. We're meant to push people on. We're meant to pray for people. Push them in the right direction. Discouragement is a joy stealer. We need to know that life is not easy. Does that shock to anybody this morning? But if you've been in some churches, and hopefully not this one, you might have heard this: you turn your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and everything will be fine. Right? You'll be blessed abundantly. You will have incredible favour. Now let me tell you, all that is true. Absolutely true. But there's a little verse we didn't read out in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29 says this: it has been granted to you not only to believe, but to suffer. That's a little gift you don't fancy, isn't it? Oh, what would I like the Lord to do for me today? Oh, can I suffer? Is it my turn? We see in Scripture all the time these two things. We have to hold them together. The favour of God and the promises of God, but also the challenges of life and the discouragements of life. And discouragement can rob us of our joy. And Paul says in Philippians, you need to see life from God's perspective. You need to see what the place you are in right now does not need to rob you of your joy. You might be fully discouraged, but it does not need to rob you of your joy. Look at me. I'm chained to a soldier. And he says, and so I'm looking at the life I'm living right now from God's perspective. What is God saying to me about this situation? Oh, look at that. I can talk to the guards about Jesus, the Praetorian Guard. These are the top guys in the Roman Empire. He's turned it on his head. We're so bad at doing that. God, will you rescue me from this place? God, will you get me out of this desert? God, will you take me from this place? And Paul is saying, you're praying the wrong prayers. Will you see God in the desert? Will you see God in this place? Will you see God in the pain? I'm not saying don't pray for healing. Believe with all of my heart that God heals today. I'm not saying don't pray for the financial blessing. I've got no issue with that at all. Jesus says he will give you 100 times all this and persecutions beside. The two things go together. And Paul is saying we need to refocus and say, what is God doing in this place? What is God doing with me right now? I feel so discouraged, Lord, and I've lost my joy. And the Lord is saying, you can have your joy in this place. Joy is not happiness. It is not circumstantial. Have you become disconnected? Have you become discouraged? I was walking to church Friday morning, ready to prepare my sermon, and I'm reading, in inverted commas, I'm listening to it mostly, the history books of the Old Testament, and I'm up to Nehemiah, and I'm listening to Nehemiah, and there's a few lists in Nehemiah, you know, I'm just listening to Hananiah, Zephaniah, Gedaliah, all those guys, you know, kind of thinking, oh, come on, I'm not going to cheat, I'm a pastor, I'm going to read the whole thing, but I have no idea what use, why is it in the Bible? Come on, Lord, tell us. And then I get to this amazing passage in Nehemiah 8. If you know the story of Nehemiah, he has faced all sorts of discouragements. He's been trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He's been trying to set the people on a firm footing. And all sorts of people have been coming at him from left and right. He's stood the whole time. The joy of the Lord, says Nehemiah, is my strength. What an incredible thing. See, joy is not just you being a happy, clappy Christian. It's strength. It does something. That's why it's so important to preach on it. Because it does something. If your joy is restored, then you are strong. If your joy is restored, then you are automatically, instantly in a good place. Because the Spirit of God is doing something in your life. The joy of the Lord, says Nehemiah, is my strength. When you are discouraged, you need courage. When you are discouraged, you need courage. And one of the things you need courage over is recognising that the place you are in, God can use for good. Rather than going, I want out. And I've been there, like many times. Rather than going, I want out, we need courage to be like Paul and to say, hey, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. I'm going to stick here. Lord, fill me with your joy. Connect me with your people. Connect me with your spirit. I'm going to stick here and pray that you get me out of here. I'm not saying just think, oh, wallow. But while I'm in this season, will you restore me joy? While I'm in this season, give me courage. Give me courage to see it for what it is. God has not forgotten you. He knows your name. He knows where you are. And he takes delight in you. He takes joy in you. We need to take joy in him. Are you disconnected this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? The Lord would say to you, come back to me. The Lord would say to you, give it to me. The Lord will say to you, reconnect. Let's pray together. Lord, we all know that a sermon doesn't do it. Lord, there's work to be done this morning. As we move from this place, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. That the joy of the Lord would bubble out of us. That it wouldn't be about the circumstances we're going through. But that we would know you. That we would trust you. That your hand would be on us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this place as a fellowship, as a church, as individuals. Lord, that we'd be connected with one another and with you. And Lord, when we're discouraged, that we'd have courage that you are for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.